I'm Carol Hills, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Protests in Venezuela took a violent turn yesterday. At least three people were killed when anti-government protesters clashed with police. Today, the protesters, who want to oust leftist President Nicolas Maduro, are back on the streets. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said Washington's keeping a close eye on what's happening in Venezuela.
We are concerned that the government of Maduro is violating its own constitution and is not allowing the opposition to have their voices heard, nor allowing them to organize in a way that expresses the views of the Venezuelan people. Yes, we are concerned about that situation.
Let's go now to Yolanda Valere. She's one of our colleagues at the BBC's Spanish language service, BBC Mundo. Yolanda, you've been covering the events in Venezuela closely. Yolanda, these protests have been huge. Why are these protests taking place now?
I suppose the trigger for this particular wave of protest is the Supreme Court's ruling a couple of weeks ago, which deemed every decision by the parliament not to be valid. That particular decision was later overturned. However, it caused a lot of anger because it was a bit like the last straw. It was very hard for the government to keep saying that they are a democratic regime if you had that such a situation in which the Supreme Court goes and says the parliament is no longer valid. So although the decision was overturned, people were saying, well, the damage is done and you cannot take that away. If you couple that with the economic situation, which is affecting people on an everyday basis, and I don't mean, you know, the forecast by the IMF saying that inflation this year is going to be 700%. I mean people who are on a daily basis, find hard to grab hold of food, of basic food, of medicines, of basic needs. And it's a long-standing, it's a continued grievance. And it's now come to the point where people are thinking they cannot take it anymore.
What do people say who actually support the government?
Well, they will acknowledge that the situation is not ideal, but they will say this you can explain using arguments that are not under the control of the government. They will say, as President Maduro said very recently, that the United States is behind another attempted coup against him. And they say it's the forces of the, you know, old businessman class, which is conspiring against whatever plans the government has. So they'll justify this and they say, you know, whichever we have now is better to what we had in the past, because we are talking about people who historically have felt left out by politicians in Venezuela.
Yolanda, how is your own family getting by in Venezuela?
Well, I only have like extended family back in Venezuela, and they are going through exactly the same situation the rest of Venezuelans are, whether they are in the supporters of the government or supporters of the opposition. I do have, for instance, a cousin. She used to have a bakery, a sort of a bakery business, and she just had to give it all up, and she had to sell all her equipment because simply she couldn't grab hold of sugar and she couldn't grab hold of flour to keep baking cakes, you know, for sale. And I have another cousin who is a taxi driver in the inner country, and you know, she's been a victim of crime, she's been robbed, and all this stuff is stuff that happens to Venezuelans on a daily basis. Where I do have an aunt who is from the Chavismo, and you should see her just defending this revolution as if there's nothing else in life, nothing else for it.
Yolanda, it's now 4 years since Hugo Chavez died, and the country is certainly as divided as ever. As a Venezuelan, how do you feel about the country's future?
It'll be fair to say that I am a little bit pessimistic. Situation, it's obvious that it's not good. It's not good for daily Venezuelans, for common Venezuelans, and it's not good for the country as a whole. But whatever happens, whatever changes can be brought about, there is no instant answer. There is no short-term answer. Whether the government remains or there is a change, and let's assume the government remains and they start making the right decisions, even in that particular scenario, for the country to recover, it's going to take years. The damage that's been inflicted in a country that it's been divided for two decades, that you have families who cannot talk to each other because they are on different sides of the spectrum, The state of productive activity in Venezuela is all in such a bad situation that I don't see it mending in the short term or even in the medium term. So as a Venezuelan, I find it really, really hard. It's hard to witness, and it's hard just to try and analyze it with you at this moment.
Yolanda Valeri is Venezuelan. She's with BBC's Spanish language service, BBC Mundo. Thanks, Yolanda.
Thank you very much.
Here's my question. How can Venezuela, rich with oil, be in such dire economic straits right now? Alejandro Velasco has been trying to answer that. He teaches modern Latin American history at NYU. Velasco says it's because former President Hugo Chavez only invested in the short term.
Chavez's vision of socialism was to hand out cash directly. So rather than, for instance, spending in significant infrastructure projects that would have a long-term benefit for the nation, people received just cash distribution.
So you have a situation where, okay, when times are good, oil money comes in. Chavez chooses to help alleviate the poor and provide benefits in order to, in part, to achieve electoral victory next time around. So there's a lack of domestic investment. And so is the translation that in these hard times, then, that's why there's no domestic products available? They're relying on imports?
It's partly it. But again, in terms of the question of why this bust is as significant as it has been, it's because, again, most of those benefits had to be spent with a short-term strategy rather than a long-term one. And as a result, now that there is no money to be had and there is no infrastructure long-term spending under the Chavez years, that means that we're left with a situation where we have neither the benefits of, you know, significant domestic production spending or the benefits of being able to buy imports. So that's what makes this particular crisis so much worse.
Now, the term currency controls comes up when I read about Venezuela's economy, and I don't really understand what that means. What are currency controls and what's been their impact on the economy?
In 2002 and 2003, in the winter, there was an oil industry strike that was meant to get rid of the Chavez government. What that meant, of course, was that Venezuela did not have the benefit of any oil income for about a month and a half. The response of the Chavez government was to restrict the amount of dollars that circulated in the economy such that there wouldn't be a capital flight. The government does that by controlling the inflow and the outflow of dollars that are available in the open market. That is what a currency control exchange is. Now, this works in a short-term context when there's an emergency situation such as it was in 2003. The problem is that that currency exchange control has been maintained for the last 13 years. And that has created a tremendous amount of corruption.
Is it that Venezuelan officials are pocketing money and then exchanging it on the black market themselves? So they're...
That's exactly right.
So then you get a whole bunch of bolivars and you go out and buy stuff with bolivars. Is that the idea?
Exactly. Precisely. But of course, what that does is it contributes to inflation. And so people on the street that don't have access to dollars, they are now caught having to buy scarce products at that black market rate. If you have access to dollars, however, you're living like a king because there's this huge differential between the official and the black market rate, right? So you have this tremendous paradox in Venezuela right now. And when I tell it to people, they don't believe it, but it's true. You have very fancy restaurants full. You have tremendously luxurious malls also full, people buying what they can, especially if they have bolivares, because it's not, makes no rational sense to keep them. So you need to spend. So there is a strange kind of spending spree happening at the same time as there's a shortage of products.
Right now, given Venezuela's economy, given the situation there, which is deteriorating by the day, what changes could improve the situation?
Well, the immediate thing that needs to happen is the elimination of the currency exchange controls. That would release a tremendous amount of cash for the government to be able to spend in other ways rather than to subsidize this corruption that is currently the case. The other part then is to solicit international investment for certain.
Why would anyone be interested in foreign investment in Venezuela at this point? I mean, we have multinationals who are pulling out.
Well, I think that all that is premised upon a government changing.
Alejandro Velasco is a Latin American history professor at NYU. He's the author of Barrio Rising, Urban Popular Politics and the Making of Modern Venezuela. Thanks so much.
Thank you.